Have you ever wondered what you would get if you crossed a school teacher with a vampire hunter? You would get a character that almost always has a plan, rarely curses, but is willing to rip your heart out. The fantasy novel Blood Magic by R.L. Collins has been released on Amazon. Welcome to Blood Magic, the podcast. This is episode number 6, The Tale of Blood Magic, Carrie Selina Anderson to Richmond, Virginia. It should be safe for us to make a stop. The vampires avoid being seen around too much public activity, Devlin said. We stopped at the first pump at the gas station on the way to Richmond, Virginia. Devlin took our guns and stowed them quickly in his army bag, then got out to fill the tank. Maxine leaned in between the seats. What do you think, Maxine? I asked. He was right. This does sound crazy. I have a life to live. I can't ride all over Virginia hiding from some deranged serial killer. We should go back and call the police. Your plan makes sense too, I said, more to myself than anyone else. What happened to you back there at the farmhouse after he gave you the wine? Wine? How could she not know it was blood? If we're going to go back to our lives, I wasn't sure I wanted anyone else to know exactly what happened to me. How do you explain it to the police? Well, officer, he gave me his blood and I had visions of vampires. It was ludicrous. Instead, I said, I'm not quite sure. I think I held my breath too long and I was lightheaded. Maxine humphed. It wasn't going to be easy to fool her. Once we get to Richmond, I'm finding a phone and calling the police, she vowed. Before I could respond, Devlin climbed back into the truck. We rode in a tense silence the rest of the way. The tension was so thick my muscles began to cramp. Devlin wanted to protect us. Maxine wanted to call the police. I just wanted to return to my quiet life and summer vacation. Dawn was approaching. The sky towards the east was getting lighter. I could feel the temperature rising. Today was going to be a real scorcher. The commuter traffic was light seeing how it was the weekend. Green trees and fields were given away to the concrete jungle. Devlin took a street that led to a guard station and a gate. A fit but aged security guard with white hair and jovial blue eyes came out of the station. Mr. McAuliffe, good morning to you. I'm glad to see that all is well. I'll buzz you right through. He smiled and waved as if he didn't see two disheveled women sitting in the truck. Thank you, Mr. Centrine. Devlin responded in a good fellow way. Once the gates opened, we drove on by and down a very long, well-paved driveway. We traveled for another 2 miles before coming upon a huge house. No, a mansion on an emerald green hill. I'm shocked. When you said more resources, I thought you meant more gunpowder, I said. Devlin chuckled, releasing some of the tension. We drove up the hill and around a bend in the driveway. He produced a device that opened the first row of doors. Once inside, the garage was even larger than it had initially appeared. Inside, it looked like a car expo. Every type of luxury and four-wheel drive vehicles appeared housed in one spot. I was not a car aficionado, but it was impressive. The garage door closed behind us. We got out and wound our way towards steps and a door on the far right side. I called ahead at the gas station. There are rooms for both of you so you can rest and freshen up, Devlin told us. Maxine and I looked at each other behind his back. Once inside, we walked through a long foyer into a receiving room that looked like a great hall. Everything was in marble of natural earth tones, ranging from sandy shades of brown to ivory. Even though it was big, it was very inviting. Devlin led us up winding stairs, and on the walls were grand paintings of animals and jungle scenes. Once up on the landing, another hall greeted us. This one was decorated with tribal masks, weapons, and scrolls with unknown writing. It was strangely quiet. Nobody else seemed to be around. We walked past several closed doors before Devlin opened the fourth one on the right. Maxine, this is your room. It's fresh. It's clean. I hope you enjoy it. I will have food and drinks set up shortly, he explained. Maxine hesitated at the door before walking in. Devlin closed the door behind her. Then both of us walked a little further, and he opened a door on the left. Selina, this is your room. The same applies. I will have food and drink sent up soon, Devlin said. I walked into a room that was almost as nice as a fancy hotel. It was decorated in burnt sienna and cream. The bed looked larger than your average king size. Fresh clothes were at the foot of the bed. I could finally get out of my grimy pajamas. Devlin quietly closed the door behind me and I was in bliss until I heard the ominous click and slide. I spun around and immediately ran to the door. It was locked. I'd exchanged one prison for another. Damn you, Devlin, I yelled through the thick wood. Chapter 4. I sat in a brown leather armchair next to the plush bed. My legs were tucked underneath me. I felt my face flush with the hotness of my anger. Maxine was so sure she was going to call the police, while Devlin had quietly executed a counterplan. Now I was in another strange house with nowhere to go. But the window, I whispered to myself. I jumped up out of the chair and walked briskly around the bed to the window. The curtains were a heavy cream brocade fabric that sealed out all the light. I had to dig beneath several layers before I came to the glass. The window was thick, double-pane, tempered glass. I searched around the frame for some way to open it. I found nothing. The view, however, was a perfect contrast. The house was high enough on the hill to overlook the gray city on one side and the greener suburbs on the other side. The grounds of the house were immaculate and lush. There was an old English maze right out of some historical novel. Even from my vantage point, I could not see the one path that led from beginning to end. Above it all, the pinkness of the dawn was fading as the sun climbed higher. A few reluctant silver clouds lingered behind, as if they had more rain to sprinkle on the people below. If I did manage to open the window, it was a sheer drop down into a pool. I had no way of judging the depth of the water. I turned away from the window and began to look around the room for something heavy enough to break the glass. There was a quiet knock at the door. I quickly rearranged the curtains back to some semblance of order. As a prisoner, I wasn't quite sure if I was supposed to say, "Come in," or if I really had a choice. I sat down on the bed. The door opened and Devlin entered with a silver tray full of delectable goodies. "As promised," he announced, "your food and drink." I didn't know I was going to be fed as a prisoner. I seethed. I put the tray down the end table next to the chair I'd been in earlier. "Well, that can't be helped," he sighed. "Of course it can," I countered. "Just let me walk out of the front door and I'll be out of your hair." "I can't do that," he said as he cocked his head and seemed to stare pointedly at the window where I'd contemplated my escape. "Marcus is after you. This is for your protection." "I'd rather have the police protect me." I felt my face begin to flush again. "Then you're asking to die," he said much too quietly, considering my outburst. We got into a staring match. I was furious and he was determined. He finally looked down at the tray of food he'd brought in. I looked as well, and that's when I noticed there was two of everything. Two huge turkey sandwiches slathered with mustard, cheese, red ripe tomatoes, and lettuce, all between thick slices of wheat bread. There were also two bowls of a rich and creamy-looking potato salad and two bunches of ripe green grapes bursting with sweet goodness. To drink, there was bottled Perrier water. "Why is there two of everything?" I demanded to know. "Well, I'm hungry too," he began. "I'm not hungry," I said flippantly, and my traitorous stomach chose that moment to growl loudly and rudely. "Oh, really?" Devlin smirked at me and raised an eyebrow. "I'm going to shower and then eat." "And here?" I gasped. "Well, yes. Don't you have your own room for that?" I was starting to feel like my life for the last few hours was the bad punchline to a joke. "This is my room." Devlin shook his head at me. "You can't be serious. I'm not staying in here with you." I stood up. I knew he'd catch me if I made a run for the door. He had the nerve to chuckle at me. "One of my brothers is watching the door, so don't think about that as your way out. We're going to share the room, but don't worry. I'm a complete gentleman, and I plan to sleep on the floor." He smiled at me after that, showing even white teeth that looked ferocious against his darker complexion. "You'll need a shower as well. Would you like to go first?" He said it as if it was a perfectly reasonable question. "You're crazy. No, you're crazy if you think I'm going to let you get into my fresh bed in those dirty clothes, he countered. You can't force me, rushed out of my mouth before I realized it. I waited for him to issue one of his infamous do this or else statements, but he was quiet. He narrowed his sea-green eyes at me. This was the only response he gave. Then he sat on the bed, giving me his back. He bent down to begin removing his shoes. His shirt came off next, and I was presented with the wide expanse of well-defined back muscles. He stood up, and broad shoulders tapered down into tight, narrow hips. He began to unbutton his jeans. I thought you were a gentleman. You can take all that into the bathroom, I said. He laughed at that, then turned to saunter into the bathroom and closed the door. I waited until I heard the shower come on and run for a few minutes before I made my next move. Your brothers, huh? I mumbled to myself as I walked through the thick oak doors. I tried the handle and was surprised to find it was unlocked. I cracked the door open and still nothing. I opened it and slipped out into the hall. There I came face to face with a burly man that looked like a human refrigerator. He had blue hair cut into a short military style and eyes as black as midnight. His thick arms were crossed over his chest. Going somewhere, ma'am? He asked in a southern drawl. I guess not, I said, and returned to my padded prison. I slammed the door behind me and thought again of my window escape. I realized it would have to wait because either man would surely hear loud noises associated with the breaking of that thick glass. My stomach reminded me again that it was empty with a rolling growl. I sat down in a leather chair and began to eat. I started with the turkey sandwich. Its wonderful flavor exploded in my mouth. I popped the cap off the water to let its icy freshness chase down the sandwich. When my portion of the food was almost eaten, I heard the shower turn off. Shortly after that, Devlin came out wearing nothing but a big white towel around his waist. His hair, once wet, it formed loose curls around his face. Beads of moisture rolled down his massive chest. He walked to the closet, opened the door, and then was hidden from view. I continued eating. So you met Gerald at the door, he asked. I chose a juicy grape next. You're up next. You can put the clothes at the foot of the bed, he continued. I decided to try the potato salad and grabbed the bowl and a spoon. How's the food? Then he pulled his head out from behind the door. Are you giving me the silent treatment? I continued to chew. He closed the closet door and was dressed in an orange t-shirt and gray sweatpants. He stalked silently towards me. He stood there for a minute before snatching the bowl and spoon right out of my hands. I glared up at him. He glared down at me. Oh, he didn't like being ignored. I felt a triumphant smile tug at my lips. Then Devlin was grabbing me and throwing me over his shoulder. He carried me, kicking and hitting, right into the bathroom. He was oblivious to the pounding I was determined to give him. He turned on the shower water, adjusted the temperature, and dropped me under the spray, and then left. Animal! I yelled and stamped my foot, splashing the water. I stood there for a few moments. Now that I was already wet and my pajamas ruined, I had no choice but to shower. I stripped off my clothes and lathered with the bar in the soap dish. It had a slight aromatic pine scent. About 20 minutes later, I was reaching for a towel around the shower curtain when I noticed clothes waiting for me on the sink. I took my time toweling off and getting dressed. The warm shower had loosened my muscles and released some of the tension of the long night. I had been up a full 24 hours, from dawn to dawn, with no rest. Fatigue was making me temporarily accept my entrapment. I put on the clothes, an old green t-shirt and black sweatpants. They were obviously men's clothes. The t-shirt hung well below my knees. There was almost too much material to bunch together with the drawstring of the pants and be effective. I briefly wondered if the clothes were Devlin's. I was a little self-conscious of not having a bra and panties. I quickly rinsed out my other underwear in the sink and hung them over the shower rod. I didn't like having my underthings exposed for anyone to see, but I needed them. I had no way to replace them now. I turned off the lights and went back into the bedroom. Devlin was indeed sleeping on the floor. He'd made a pallet for himself out of blankets and pillows. He was already under the covers, lying on his back with his hands folded beneath him. All the lights were out except for a small bedside lamp. He leaned forward to get a better look at me. Sorry for the fit, but those are my best pajamas, he began. We don't have any other women in the house to borrow from. I pulled back the covers and crawled into the plush bed. My head hit the pillow and my body sagged with relief. Why didn't we see your brothers when we first came in? I had other questions. Many of them would have to wait. They were just staying out of sight to keep from spooking you, he replied as he watched me from over the edge of the bed. Where is my cat? Would probably be my final question for the night. I miss having my cat at the foot of the bed, curled up. I left him in the restroom with bowls of food and water. Devlin sounded like he was farther and farther away. Sleep was tugging my eyelids down. You're an oxymoron, I mumbled. How's that? You're a bully with these random displays of consideration. My eyes closed completely. Oh, really? Well, don't tell anybody about the consideration part, he whispered, and then I was asleep. Thank you for listening. Come back same time, same place. Next week, Selena will have the opportunity to explore her powers.